Good deal of time spent this week on a couple of resolutions that essentially call in a couple of people to answer questions of the entire Senate.
Yes, that was interesting to me because I really, for all practical purposes, a filibuster by the minority party against issuing the subpoenas, which to me seemed a little bit out of order just because this was not a policy subpoena. It was a jurisdiction subpoena. Does the Senate have the power to subpoena someone and require them to come before the Senate and respond to our inquiries? And the answer to that is yes. It's been done before. It was done in 1991 when the Senate issued that subpoena. So we do have subpoena powers. I guess it was my thinking that the minority party, who is somewhat protective of Planned Parenthood, because that's what the resolutions were regarding, Planned Parenthood and pathology services, to come in and answer questions about some of the allegations of their mishandling of aborted babies and even the selling of organs. The subpoenas were issued sometime ago, and there's been virtually no response to the request for documents. The parties involved that documents were requested have ignored the Senate. They've been contacted repeatedly. There have been follow-up letters to make sure that there was no misunderstanding and what kinds of documents were required. I thought it should have been raised, as some policy discussion certainly can take place on the Senate floor. You can talk about anything you want for as long as you want, but this did not seem like something that should be filibustered. It should be something that we all agreed, if the Senate is going to issue a subpoena, then that subpoena requires compliance. And if somebody doesn't comply, then the Senate should take further action to enforce it. And this was the further action to enforce those subpoena, was the resolutions. I was disappointed that it was taken to the policy discussion more than to the jurisdiction discussion. We did finally get those two resolutions passed, one to each of those institutions. Planned Parenthood will receive a requirement specifying a date and time when they are supposed to appear before the Senate. This is not a court proceeding, but in some measure it's similar to a court proceeding, except that the Senate is what acts as the judge rather than a judge behind a bench. It would be the entire Senate that would sit in a committee format, and it's called a committee of the whole. The representatives from those two organizations would have to show up and probably be sworn in, and then the Senate would act as a committee to ask questions and hear their responses to those questions. The questions would probably be aligned primarily with why they have not submitted to us the documents that were requested originally by each organization. And there have been some red herrings that were thrown up. There was a discussion about what about personal and private information that could be submitted. It's been very clear from the beginning and even in follow-up documents that no personally identifiable information was requested and none should be submitted to the Senate, that there should only be information that where anything that was personally identifiable was completely removed from, deducted from the information that was sent. So it was a disappointment that it took as long as it did. We did finally get everybody to sit down and take the vote today. It was a party line vote in passing the resolutions. They'll go forward now. If for some reason these would be ignored by Planned Parenthood or by pathology services, then the Senate does have powers beyond that. We have powers that could go as far as jailing an offender. Now, I don't think we're going to do that. I think that we're expecting that these parties will submit to the subpoenas. They will show up. We will be able to have the hearing, inquire of them, and find out whether the allegations are true and to what degree they're true. I'm looking forward to doing that because the bottom line of this is the sanctity of life. The subpoenas were originally issued from the Interim Sanctity of Life Committee, and that's the committee that has been ignored. The authority of the entire Senate has been ignored. So we're looking forward now to moving this along, and hopefully at this point this is a severe enough measure that we've taken that both Planned Parenthood and pathology services will comply.
This week we also saw, today in fact as we tape this, third reading of Senate bills, which is standard occasion on a Thursday for the most part.
Right.
And there was a vote on a bill, I don't remember the bill number now, but it relates loosely to early childhood education and I think taxation related to that.
Right. I actually voted no on that. I had voted no on that bill out of committee. It came through the Education Committee. It passed overwhelmingly. There were a few of us that voted no. The reason is because the more investigation I do of the early childhood effectiveness, the less I believe that it is effective and that it's a good use of taxpayer dollars or education funding. The taxation issue issue was raised by one of my colleagues that is concerned that this might actually rob money from the funding formula for those districts that would choose to exercise this tax credit because it comes from local taxes. His concern, and we haven't completely verified it, is that those are tax dollars that typically would be used to fund schools. Most of our schools receive far more funding locally than they do from the state or the federal government, and anything that would impact those local taxes would more than likely impact the funding for the schools. And so that would, in fact, shift funds, possibly rather than add funds. The other thing is that there's a number of studies have been done on early childhood education, and in none of those studies, to my knowledge, has there ever been any measurable impact beyond about the third grade. By the time these students reach the third grade, you cannot tell which ones have had early childhood education and which ones have not. Years ago, when kindergarten was instituted, the justification for kindergarten was, well, you know, we need all the students to be coming into the first grade ready to learn. And so we instituted kindergarten, and we now have kindergarten funded through the funding formula, and it's part of the education process. And now that same question has arisen again. Well, we need all the students to come into kindergarten ready to learn, ready to be good kindergartners, so we need preschool. And I know it's been asked on the Senate floor before, well, then what are we going to do when all the students don't come into preschool equal? I guess we're going to have pre-preschool. But we're now talking about children in the age of 4 and eventually 3, and there's some concern that the state eventually wants to take our children right from the womb and begin to indoctrinate them from that point. And I'm just concerned both because the children are so young, some of them won't even come into preschool potty trained, and that they're so young and they're already under the auspices of the state and the state's curriculum and deciding in many ways right and wrong based on what they're told by the state, that preschool isn't a really good idea for the future of Missouri. And so I know on most of the preschool bills, just because I think it's a bad use of taxpayer dollars and it's not effective in terms of preparing kids for school later on.